Okay. The title is God's Unspeakable Gift. And as we approach Christmas, you know, we're in the gift-giving mode, in the gift-giving mood. And you think, we used to sing a song in Detroit is, you can't beat God giving. You believe that? This is no matter how hard you try. And most people, we approach the Christmas holiday, and it's become so commercialized, and we know that. We know that most people, when they say put Christ back in Christmas, even the Christ they put back in Christmas is commercialized. Mm-hmm. And we look at it as, it's almost an obligation where people feel like, well, I have to get you something. Or it's a tradition. But really, the real motive behind it is we don't even give it much thought. Because where anybody could tell me where the Lord said to celebrate His birth? Anybody find a verse that says the Lord says celebrate His birth?
If it can be found, you
You know what He did say to celebrate?
Yeah.
How long?
Until He comes.
I mean, that's just, I'm just throwing this out there. How many times have we done that?
Celebrate Easter?
His death.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You know,
like here? Yeah, I'm saying as a body of believers who meet together, how many times have we done that?
Not in years. Oh, I'm sorry. You come back to me.
Yeah, and I'm just...
No.
I'm just, it has nothing. I'm just throwing that out there. Because that's why I'm showing you how you can lose focus of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do that on our own. But He said, when you come together, mm-hmm. as often as you do it, and He didn't put a timetable on it. He said, as often as you do it in what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, anyway, let's keep going here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we pick up our text. Yes.
But that's like communion.
That's exactly right.
Every time you do communion.
Right, right. Yeah, we call it communion, right. And He calls it the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, but I'll just put that out there because it's along the line of what, you know, how you could do a thing and lose focus. Or not do a thing because you've lost focus.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, here's what Paul says. He says, and he's writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's pick it up at verse 6. He says, but this I say, obviously that's not on your sheet, so just go with me. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. By the way, there's your instructions for giving today. He says, you give not what? Grudgingly or what? Of necessity. Let me ask you this. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, just think about it. How many of you are going into this season now and you're going to give grudgingly? Or are you going to give of necessity? And not cheerfully?
I ain't going to be the one. I ain't got nothing to give.
I'm not out of necessity.
I don't think that was the point.
He didn't say God loves a systematic giver. He said God loves a cheerful giver. So every, you know what? The day comes around, guess what? I gotta get Bob something. I gotta get Jeanette something. I gotta get Mike something.
Can't you do both?
But what if I said, I love you. That's my gift to you. What? You love me what?
That's what my niece would
say. If you love me, you're going to say, if you love me, prove it, right? But he says, God loves a cheerful giver. Look at verse 13. Now, what Paul had done was went to the Corinthians and asked them for a gift, money, to give to the poor saints. So the Corinthians, they were wealthy. And they said, oh, we'd be happy to do that. But they were tight anyway. He said, well, I want to make sure. He said, I don't want you to give just because I'm asking you. If you don't really want to do that, don't do it. And he says this in verse 13. While by the experiment of this ministration, that's your giving. He says, they, those poor saints, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. He says, okay, you said you were going to give. And they appreciate that. That's great. And he said this. And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And the reason I went back to this is because when Paul took up the money, he says, you know what? They're thanking God for you. Because the grace of God worked, what did the word say? It worked what? It worked. What does the verse say? It worked how? In you. Exceedingly in you. And he said the grace of God worked exceedingly in you. And they're given what?
Liberally.
And they're given what?
Money.
And he says they're given money. And they're thanking God that the grace was working liberally and exceedingly. And then the next verse is our verse. He says this. For God be thanked, what? Thanks be to God for his what?
Unspeakable
gift. He said, if you get that excited about money, they give him money. If you get that excited about them, what? Thanks be to God for his what? Unspeakable gift. He said, you know what you think of a synonym for unspeakable? It's indescribable. Unutterable. But it, next verse, look at that. 2 Corinthians 12. You know, Paul had the experience that he said, you know what? It's almost unlawful for me to talk about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says this. Verse 1-4. He says, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard, what kind of words?
Unexpressible.
Bob said, unexpressible. That's a good synonym. He heard what? Unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. You know what? He was caught up to the third heaven. And what he saw, he said, what I saw?
I can't even tell you.
Mm-hmm. Because, why do you think he couldn't tell them? Because of the what? Because of the awesomeness of what he saw.
No words to describe it.
It was what?
Unlawful.
He says, I can't even think of the adjective to tell you how great it was, the things that I saw. That's what he said. They're what? You know what? He had a little bit of that when he was with Festus and Agrippa. Remember when they were together? And he started talking about the resurrection. And you know what Festus said? Okay. Acts. This is not on the sheet. Acts 26.
Acts
26. Start at verse 22.
I didn't know there was more than one heaven.
So there you go. Now you know, right? Frank said he didn't know there was more than one heaven. He said it's first, second, what? Matter of fact, Ephesians said that he's exalted now far above all heavens. So he did talk about three, but who's to say there's not more than that? He says, Acts 26:22, he says, having therefore obtained, this is Paul before Festus and Agrippa, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the Gentiles and to the people. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art what? Beside thyself, much learning doth what? Make thee mad. You know what Festus, when he heard that, what Paul was talking about, you know what he said?
That's right.
Yeah. You're crazy.
You're crazy.
Because he was telling Festus about some things that he knew. That's what he taught in the Corinthians. He says, well, the things that I saw, he said, you'd be like Festus. Mm-hmm. You say, you out of your mind.
Yeah.
You remember that movie that came on TV where the little boy was, he had went to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling them things. You know what? They said, there's no way he could know that. The things that, what's the name of that?
Heaven is
for real. Thank you. And you know what? They walked around that house, and he'd just be saying things. And he says, they look at him. What did you just say?
I don't know.
So to him, it was fact. It was factual. To them, they were like, what? What in the world? Where'd you get that from? I'm not making that up. He said, I'm not making that up. I saw him. And Paul said, you know what? I'm not making this up. I saw this. What's funny is he said it was unspeakable, but guess what he's talking about to us? The things that were unspeakable. He said, it's given me to tell you about the unspeakable things, or he calls the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what today? I've just left the Sunday school. I was highlighting the Sunday school. And you know what these things? The things that they're almost still unspeakable to them. Let me show you what I mean. When you start talking about Christ, and here's what they were saying. We need to go out and they were talking about how the believers should act. Nobody wants to come to church because of the believers. And I said, that's true. I said, but this is how far out of touch we are. The church is for who?
The people.
You said the people. The church is for who?
The
believers. I don't expect sinners to come through here. I expect the believers to come through here. The church is, the very word church means what?
Called out.
A called out group. Called out from what?
The world.
So when we come here, this is for us to educate ourselves.
Yeah.
What?
Edification.
For edification. To build us up to do what?
Yes,
to go out to them. That's the problem now. We've mixed up so much where we think the church is for everybody. Look, we're in Corinthians right now. Paul said this. He said, what do I have to do with them that are without. He said, them that are out there, God will take judge them. He said, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you believers. I don't want you caught up in that. The church comes together to edify each other. And Paul said this, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we could do the work of an evangelist. You know what an evangelist does?
Shares good news.
To who?
To the Lord.
See, it's our job. You know what? We equip each other, and then we go out. You don't have to put the sign out and say, sinners come. Sinners come on in.
We already here.
He said, you know what? The thing is he's like Philip. He said, no, you go catch him. When was the last time you talked to a lost person and gave him a gift? Since it's Christmas time, when was the last time you talked to a lost person and gave him a gift or her a gift? So what? A gift is what? It's unconditional. Well, the gift should be, a gift is what it should be, unconditional. That's how we lost touch. You give me a gift, I give you a gift. If you don't give me a gift, I'm a little disappointed. But that's what I'm saying is you have an unspeakable gift. We've been gifted with it. Where Paul said, 12, he said this. He says, I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Can you imagine this? Look at First Peter. Look at First Peter. I'm trying to stay on target with this sheet.
I don't.
1 Peter chapter 1. Now, can you imagine this? Where God's talking about his thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. He said this. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. He's talking about Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, in your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesy of the grace that should come unto you, searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister, the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things what? The angels desire to look into. So that was a lot of verses there. But he said the prophets talked about Christ coming. They talked about it. They didn't know what they were talking about. But they talked about it, you know what? So you could benefit from it. That's what a prophet is. He's what? It's a person that what? Well, speaks for it or foretells the future. The future. Even Moses, you know what Moses said? The Lord will raise up a prophet like me. That's, Moses was a prophet. So, but the prophet they talk about, the prophet said these things, and they didn't know what they were really saying. They wanted to know. And he said this, and now that this gospel is being preached, he says, with the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven. You know what he says? What? Which the angel what? Desire that they did. They what? Desire to look into. Why? Why do you think that angels desire to look into the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven?
Their destiny is linked in with ours.
Their destiny?
The angels have fallen. The fallen angels, they want to know what's going on because this whole thing is playing out in the world has an effect on both our eternal destiny and theirs.
Okay.
They didn't understand at that time how God was going to justify sending them to hell until he came to the cross, and then they knew why.
Well, that's good. He said because of the fallen angels, they want to know how this thing is working out. But it's not just the fallen angels, right?
It's
all the angels. Listen, when you said when God, they were there when God created the heaven and earth. Because you said it. They said they what? Shouted for joy. I said, oh, look at that. That's great. They were there when Adam was formed. What?
If you read the letter I wrote this morning, you'll find the connection.
They were there when Eve was formed. Mm-hmm. So, don't you think they were like, wait a minute. The creation, that's great. But then when he starts doing this man's, well, he kind of looks like me. What's going on with this? They were curious about that. Then, to go down later and find out angels were when they saw the babe. The angels did what? Praised him. They knew who he was. But if you think they wanted to know about the Holy Ghost coming down from heaven, what do you think they thought about the God himself being put in a body? Putting on a body. If you think they said, well, what about the Holy Ghost coming down from heaven? He said they desire to look into it. You know what they said? Can you tip? I need to investigate that. They couldn't. They're just spectators. Because it goes back to what God did was what? A mystery? We just talked about the words. It was what? What? Unspeakable. What God did was unspeakable. It was mysterious. All right, he said, I can't. They didn't know what he was doing. It was so marvelous, it confounded even the angels. Because God had this what? In his mind. And who knows the mind of the Lord that they might instruct him? Nobody. You think he got ready to do something? When he said, let us do this in Genesis, he wasn't talking about the angels. He wasn't having an angel council and said, what do you think? What do you think I should do? He was talking about him, himself, and him. The Father, the Son. Everybody else is on the wonder. What's he doing? You imagine when he made Adam, they probably said, that won't work. That will not work. Because they were superior to him in every way. But that's God's wisdom. Can you imagine that if I make a brick man, and then I come back and I make a paper towel man, what would you put your trust in? The brick man. What the angels saw, they didn't see a brick man. They saw a paper man. And that's what they said. That? They would say that Elohim is slipping.
He's getting old.
But, all right. Hebrews chapter 10. But this is God's wisdom, and he's coming to do what, like Mike said, as far as redemption, he's coming to give a gift, an unspeakable gift. And this gift includes all other gifts. Hebrews 10. I'm missing some paper in here, so I might need some help. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, he saith, when he cometh into the world, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but what?
A
what?
A body.
A body hast thou
prepared me.
Okay. What does that tell you? What does that tell us? Before the Lord put on the body, it was what?
Prepared.
It was already prepared. Already planned out. You know what they say, you see what you're shopping? And they said, no. No, I go to the last minute. You're going to see people on Christmas Eve rummaging through the piles, trying to find a gift that's suitable. Or won't you? You might be one of them.
If they're searching through the piles on Christmas Eve, that's a gift of obligation.
You got to, right. And you got, you know what? That last minute, like I got one more gift for Whitney. And you know what? You try to find something that they'll be satisfied with. But God, when he decided to give a gift, he already knew. He already knew what he was going to give, how he was going to give it, and why. He just didn't tell us. He said, a body thou hast prepared me. Because all the other gifts, when I say gifts, he gave animals to the children of Israel to atone for their sin. That's what he said. He said, I've given you the blood for the altar to make an atonement for your sin. I've given you, that's a gift. I've given you these animals to make an atonement. But at the same time, he says, you know what? There's no way that gift would cover what I want done. So I have another gift in mind. Am I? Everybody okay? Okay. He said, I know you don't want that other gift. He says, a body thou hast what? Prepared me. So he picks who? He picks Joseph. He picks Joseph and Mary. Well, I can't say Joseph. He picks Mary. Because Joseph had nothing to do with it. He picks Mary. Let me look at my sheet. He picks Mary. That's what I said. He was born of a what? A virgin. Why? Why do you think he was paid to pick out a virgin? All have sinned, right? Would that include her?
The conception.
Huh?
The conception had to be obviously and purely between God and
he wanted the right one.
Okay.
God and man.
The angel
God
said
and
man.
Okay.
In your womb is of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Angie, I heard you say something back there.
Because he couldn't come through,
natural
means with man and woman come together. So.
Why not?
Because
blood
was then come through man.
You got a verse for that?
By one man
centered in. All right. That's all right. Because you're going to get some smart alligator out there. You're going to say, she was a sinner too.
You can't lay any of it on Joseph.
So, for God, he's preparing the body. He knows, here's God. He knows that the blood comes through
God.
The man. He says, I can't use that guy. He's not in my plan. If I use him, the wrapping paper is messed up. You follow? So if I use him, you know, when I was really got into the gift giving and all that, I'm not a Scrooge. I'd wrap a gift in anything. I'd wrap a gift in newspaper, funny papers, magazine papers.
Brown bags.
Because you know what? The wrapping I wasn't so much concerned about. This was on the inside. So when the Lord, he says, I'm not so concerned about the wrapping either. You know, we see the picture of Jesus. You know what he is? Like 6'2", nice hair like Bob. He's wavy, like he got hair like that. He got nice hair. You know, he's trimmed up his mustache and goatees. He's got his bone structure. He looks real good, doesn't he? That's the rapper we give him. That's the rapper we give him. You know what the rapper God gave him? He was comely. He said there was nothing that we desired about him. We esteemed him stricken of God. You know, I said that? That's your unspeakable gift? That? No way. Couldn't be. But that's the body he prepared. Because it wasn't the external. He had to be a man because he was dying for man. You don't send an angel to do a man's job. Or you don't send an animal to do a man's job. I'm going to say the blood of bulls and goats, it's not possible. Because their blood is what?
Simple.
It's sinful too. Mm-hmm. How can you pay for me when you owe? How can you cover my debt and you owe a debt? Look, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know what? The blood is your payment. All right. Peter, 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1:19. He says this. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of as a lamb without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He called what kind of blood?
Precious.
Wonder why? How do you know that?
The word tells us.
Without blemish, without spot.
Without blemish, without spot. You know what? Number one, it wasn't from what? It wasn't from Joseph. It wasn't a man's blood. And by one man sin entered into the world. And just to even to make sure, I think Andy said it. Did you know that for you women that have children, had children, or will have children, that the baby does not share the same blood source as the mother? Did you know that? The baby does not share the same blood source as the mother. They exchange nutrients and oxygen. The mother gives the baby nutrients and oxygen, and the baby gives the mother the carbon dioxide from his blood and the waste, and she carries it out. But the baby has its own blood source.
So they're different blood types.
Yeah.
That's why you have right. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's where, who said that? That's why when God says, Mary, you're not Mary. Mary, don't worry about that, what's going on with you. Don't worry about it. He said, because what's conceived in you is from the Holy Spirit. Because the shadow of the highest
is overshadowed you.
And was with you. Let me stick with the verses. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Verse, what's that? Luke 1, verse 26. Let's start. Well, there it is right there, 26. You know, I have a time with this sheet. Anyway, let's, if I could look down, I could see the verses, but I just, it's a hard habit to break. Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, why is he greeting me like that? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Joseph Jr. He said what?
Emmanuel.
That's right, Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And as Jerry said, Emmanuel, that's what Matthew said. We're going to skip that one because Jerry said it. He said, he's called Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, Emmanuel, which means
God with us.
God with who?
Us.
Where?
Here.
Where is here?
Here on earth.
Here on earth. You mean the God of the heavens comes down, puts on a body, or gets in a body in the manger? That's what he said. That's what the verse is saying, right?
And Isaiah prophesied.
Can you imagine what kind of gift is that?
Unspeakable.
And you know what? And it's for those people who love them. It's for those people who love them.
Who accept the gift.
Huh? The ones who what? Who didn't love them. Who didn't love him. He didn't send his son to a war that was, oh, we can't wait. We've been waiting. We couldn't wait. Can't wait for you to get here. Matter of fact, they proved this. Says, where are you from? I mean, they asked him. He says, when he was a man, they says, where are you from?
That's good.
No, he meant this. He said, my kingdom. And he says, what? Where are you from? Pilate said, where are you a king or not? He said, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my subjects fight for it? And Pilate, he said, wait a minute. He said, now if you're not from this world, he says, where are you from? Could he tell him? If he told Pilate that, could he tell him that? Could he tell him that? He told him. He says, I'm the what? I'm the Son of God. He told him that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. You know what they knew? They said this. They says, we're not killing you for your good work. We're killing you because what? Because you blaspheme. Because you said you were what? Son of God. And they knew that that meant that you were making yourself equal to God. Was he equal to God? You know what John says? John chapter 1?
In the beginning.
With what?
The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And what happened to the Word?
It was made flesh.
It was made what?
Flesh.
And did what? And we beheld as
the only begotten Son, the Father, full of grace.
No man has seen God. He said, but since you asked, no man has seen God at any time, but since you asked, I will what? The Lord says, I will declare him unto you. The Son has declared him. If somebody said, tell me what God looks like, could you explain? If you start talking about God, they say, you know what? They think you were nuts. But the Lord says, he says, I'll declare him. John chapter 1, he says, I'll declare him. Hold your hand there. Look at John. I just want you to read that one verse. John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at what? Anytime. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has what? He has revealed him. He has revealed him. Matthew chapter 2. So God has prepared this gift for us, for them actually. That makes the gift even more gracious. You ever heard of regifting? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, y'all heard regifting. Yeah. And usually people regift things they don't like. Right? And you're just like, oh, that's nice. This would be perfect for Melissa. Not me. Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, this is the Magi, when they found Jesus, the King of the Jews, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, Emmanuel, when they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed and went. They departed into their own country another way. Now the wise men, they came, you know what? They rightly called the wise men. They came and they gave him gifts. And they gave him three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know why? Gold for his royalty. He's a what?
King.
He's not just king of the Jews. They said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? They didn't know that he was what? King of kings. I like that. King of the universe. King of kings. He says, gold, frankincense. That's what the priest offers for in their offerings, and it was a aromatic incense. They called it this. They said it was an offering. It was a... That's right. It was a sweet savor. You know, you're walking to somebody's house, especially around this time, and you can tell what? You said, man, that smells
good.
Because you know what's going on there. Something being prepared with, you know what? That's great. I couldn't. Something being prepared with love. What's that, Jerry? What did you say, Jerry?
No.
Did you eat it? You ate it, right?
I ate as much as I could.
What is it? Right. Well, you know what? That wasn't so sweet. But this was. The Lord, when he's ready, you know what? This is a baby. But they know that he's, you know what? This is God's gift. And God's, you know, when Romans talks about him being a propitiation, a satisfying sacrifice, his death will be to God a sweet savor. If you know the person, you know what they need. If you're picking out gifts, you know what a good gift is? A good gift is the gift you know they can use. Alright? A great gift is a gift that you know that they can use forever. Or, you know, less, as long as they're living. You know, something like this where Oprah's off the air now. We're off the regular channel. Remember that time where she really, her pinnacle was when everybody was like, what's she going to do? And she said, you know what? You get a car. You get a car. You, everybody, oh, you get a car. She outdid herself that day.
Because women, they just started bitching about the taxes.
But you think about this. Where God, you know what? When God sent his son, they talk about a gift. And he's like, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is... And you know what he said? You get eternal life. You get eternal life. If you what?
Believe.
Can you beat that?
No.
Gift? And he said, you know what? This is absolutely free. You know, so sometimes we give gifts. They're not really free. But this gift is what? Free. He said, look at verse
9.
You
got started late.
I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did. We forgive you of your sins.
Hebrews 9. He said this. Oh, the other gift was myrrh.
Yeah.
Which was for his... Right, that's what they embalmed the people with. It was a spice that when Joseph went to get Jesus' body, that's what he bound. He wrapped him with some myrrh and spices. And that's what the Egyptians used for embalming. So they knew what? Here's the king. That's a sacrifice. And he's also going to what? To die.
Would that also be his role as prophet?
A king is what? Are you talking about the gold? A priest? The frankincense? Prophet? The myrrh? You know, a prophet is the word is a witness. It's the same word as martyr. How many of the prophets, then when Jesus was talking to the Jews, he said, which of the prophets didn't you
kill?
Yeah.
And he prophesied his own death.
He says, 9, he said this, but Christ, 9:11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but, verse 12, by his what? Own blood entered into the holy place, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to who? How much more will he purge your conscience from what? Did you know? Here's a man, if you think about the Lord, let me read this up too. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. See, that's the problem with the sheep. So now that when I write it down, then I have to go to it. Because you're going to say, well, what about the other two verses? 1 Timothy 2. He said this. That Jesus Christ, he said, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself what? A ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know what a ransom is?
Yeah.
It's a payment. It's a substitute. Remember I saw this on the news where the people had put layaways in Walmart? And then when they went there, it was $50,000. And when they went in there, everybody that was told that said, your landway has been paid off. Somebody had made a what? What kind of payment?
A ransom.
A ransom payment. What's another word for that? It was a
substitutionary
payment. You think they were happy?
Yeah.
That's a great gift around the holiday, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And some of them said that. They said, I don't know how I was going to get that out. I don't know how I was going to pay for that. Mm-hmm. Whoever that was, thank you. They didn't say, whoever that was, I'd love to pay you back. They said, thank you. Whoever that was, thank you. Well, if Christ has given himself for us, our sins, you can't pay that back. Nor do you want to try to pay that back. And do you? And he said, the reason why I gave it myself is because I knew what?
You could do it.
You can't do it. There's no way you can meet. He said, look, this is a gift. He said this, Galatians 2:20. Paul said to Timothy, he said that God was, he made the gift is available for what? For all. This is an eternal gift. Like I said, what better gift can you give than something that everybody can use? And use it forever? Mm-hmm. What is that? He said, this is an eternal gift in Galatians 2:20, where Paul said that he gave himself a ransom for all. You know when you ever walk in a place and you see something on there that says free, take one. Have y'all ever walked into a place and you saw a thing that said free, take one? Mm-hmm. If you wanted one, you'd do what? You don't go to somebody and say, if they tell you it's free, you take it. You don't go to them and say, I'd like to pay for that. And they would say, what? It's free. The reason I said that is because somebody would go in there and they'd say, you know what, catch to that. And they walk on out. You know, they say, nothing's free. It costs something. You know, it did cost something, didn't it? It just don't cost you anything. But it's available for all. Galatians 2:20. Paul said this. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Who loved me and what?
Gave himself.
You know what I like? He said this. He two times. Me. In Timothy, he said, you know what? This gift is available for what? For all. But in Galatians, he said, you know what? This is my gift. And he said again, you know what? He gave it to what? He gave it to me for my enjoyment. He said, what are you talking about? The Lord, the gift was him. He said, for your sins, for our sins. A lot of times we talk about it in like we never got the gift individually. Everybody show up. You know, everybody go to churches. We talk about, everybody go to church. They haven't accepted this. They haven't received the gift yet. Do you believe that?
Somebody never going to get the gift.
Listen, just because you put on a shirt and tie and walk into a building on Sunday doesn't mean that you have the gift. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
That's why Paul said this. He loved me. He loved me and gave himself for me. I have that gift. Do you have that gift?
Yes, I do.
Do you know you have that gift?
Yes, I do.
Is there anything better than that gift?
No, there isn't.
And you know what? This gift can be re-gifted. Can you re-gift that gift?
Yes, you can.
You can witness.
What's that?
You can witness.
You can witness.
But you can't re-gift the gift.
You know what? This is the gift.
Transaction happening there after you witness.
You know what? This is like, that's a good point. Let me use this. You know what? When Jesus, this is just an example. When Jesus, they said, all these people here, what are you going to do? He says, what you got? He says, I got two fish and what? And how many people you think he said, there's no way. There's no way. You know what? He began to do what?
Divide.
He began to break it off. And they all what?
Eight.
And he says, okay, go get the fish brains. I just found out what that meant. Go get the fish brains. You know what a fish brain is?
Skeletons.
Skeletons. I didn't know that. There was a guy at work, he said, you know, you can buy fish brains from the store. I was like, what? Fish brains. Yeah, fish brains. Anyway, that has nothing to do with it. But if there was something left over, or that's what I said, you know what? This is eternal. This gift is eternal. It ain't like you're going to run out of efficacy. The blood, it never loses its power. And it don't run out. It's eternal. So you don't have to be scared, like, you know what? I'm not going to have enough for everybody. He's got plenty. He's got plenty of grace to go around. So, thank you guys for coming. Merry Christmas to you all. And as you go into your activities, you know what? Don't forget God's unspeakable gift to us.